Hey, Rowdies fans, it's Charlie Dennis.
This is Forrest Lasso.
You're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
The Unused Substitutes.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the bench!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Is there one final touch to be had? Aaron Guillen, Lasso, elevating,
yeah!
And Musana
Rowdy's family, and welcome to the Unused Substitute Soccer Show, where we spread the green and gold gospel about the Tampa Bay Rowdies, Nicky Law's Tricky Rowdies. I gotta work on that one. That wasn't that good. My name's Matthew Cox. I'm joined by my co-host, Ben Wilcox, and for the next 45 minutes to an hour or so, since we actually have stuff to talk about today, we're going to talk about the most recent results. The news, there's been some news recently, and preview this week's upcoming match. First off, before we get into this, Ben, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, my friend. I've been a little busy lately. I'm getting ready to move here in the next couple weeks, so I am crazy busy trying to get my place packed up here and get all my stuff together and, you know, get all ready to do a big move. But I'm moving like a mile and a half from work, which is awesome. I've never lived that close to work in my life. I've always had to commute like 45 minutes.
Right.
So for me to be able to have a nice 5-minute drive on my bike, I'm pretty excited.
I was going to say, I saw you posted the picture of your new transportation toy online. That must be pretty nice. I actually, where I still live right now is a house I bought when I worked at the first school that I worked at, which is maybe a 10-minute walk. Like, I could be at home and hear the PA in the driveway. Now, of course, the year after I bought that house, or the end of that school year, my position was at that school was cut, and I had to go work at various places around the county, much further away than there. But I liked it for a while, just being able to walk there and back if I needed to.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. Like I said, it's I've always lived like 45 minutes away from work, so to be like a 5-minute ride. Plus, you know, like, it's a really nice e-bike. I kind of splurged a little bit on this one, but, you know, I want to have a fun commute. I've lived close to St. Pete before, so, and I like downtown St. Pete. It's nice. So I'm excited. This is going to be a fun, nice changeover for me.
Yeah, actually, I was coming back from the East Coast over the weekend when I was over there with my daughter, and we were talking about it, and it was like, if I had to live somewhere else besides where I live right now, like, over there would probably be number two, number three on my list. But like, St. Pete would be probably my top choice if I had to move somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe sometime in the future we'll see. But it was kind of a fun thing to think about, that sure. That possibility.
Yeah.
Man, imagine just living close to the stadium, being able to have some of the fun post game and pre game activities that I have wanted to do in the past, but
yes,
not the brightest idea to do when you live 45 minutes away would be nice.
Yeah,
would be nice.
Yeah, that Uber ride home is going to be far more forgiving now.
Oh man, Dan and I used to joke about we were going to rent an apartment near Al Lang and use it as like a podcast, like studio / like match weekend, like crash there after the game or something. Not in this market, but maybe sometime down the road.
Yeah,
probably not. This is Florida. We'll see.
Well, you can always crash in my pad once I'm in there if you ever need to, my friend.
That's true. It's not a bad idea. I might have to think about that. Speaking of crashing, Tulsa's 5-game win streak came to a crashing halt Saturday night at Al Lang Stadium as they fell 3-0. And I don't. Did either of us predict a clean sheet? I don't remember.
No, I think I said 3-1, if I remember correctly.
I think I might have said 2-1. I'm somewhere in there. But we both predicted, number one, we both predicted this could be a little bit of a physical game, and starting about 30 minutes or so in, the yellow cards start flying. The second half, we saw what we have termed, what we started calling a Dark Jordan in the the pre-show chat coming out and drawing a yellow for basically a hockey move, sending one of the Tulsa players into the boards, like literally right before, right underneath a mic too, because it sounded way worse than it looked, and it sounded pretty bad. But the Rowdies triumphed 3-0, all on second half goals. It was tied 0-0 at halftime. Both teams had some opportunities, had some chances. Second half, don't know what Nicky Law said to them at halftime, besides maybe go out, score some goals. That's exactly what they did. Forrest Lasso opens up the scoring with a goal in the 52nd minute on an assist from Charlie Dennis. And I noticed they had been working that Charlie to Forrest connection, especially on corners, for a while all night. So that paid off. Forrest had a little special celebration. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Charlie Dennis gets one on his own a little bit later, following up a blocked shot in the 64th minute to put Rowdies up 2-0, and substitute JJ Williams closes it out in the 82nd minute from an assist from Jordan Doherty, and match finishes at 3-0. So Ben, you were there at the match, right?
Correct.
I was over on the other coast and in a house that did not have any streaming capability. So I went back, watched the second half this afternoon. I saw the clips and the highlights and stuff, but I wanted to get the a feel for the match. What were your observations? What were your takeaways from this match?
So if I break it down by halves, first half, you know, FC Tulsa definitely had some opportunities. They jumped on us, you know, which is interesting. They came out in a more of like a defensive 5-4-1. And they were able to get us to turn over the ball in our third and put some decent chances on goal. Thankfully, the defense, I think, played pretty strong and didn't really allow much as far as like good opportunities, minus one or two in the first half. But other than that, though, we looked pretty goal dangerous. You had mentioned it, you know, Forrest Lasso on those set pieces was getting on those all night. You just kind of felt like it was coming. He just, every time that cross came in, Forrest was right, just perfect place on all of them. So that first half was, you know, you went in feeling pretty positive, even though it was 0-0. Like I wasn't worried about what Tulsa was going to do. I definitely felt good about what we were doing and how we were going to come out. And yeah, I don't know what Nicky Law said at halftime, but he must've lit a fire under somebody, because all of a sudden, man, they just came out buzzing. And they were moving around the field. I mean, Jordan Doherty, I mean, my man. I mean, you had yourself a game, son. I mean,
yeah, he got some shout outs from the announcers. And our friend John Morrissey, USL Tactics, pointed out he was having a very Lewis Hilton-esque night. Lewis spotted in a nice little pregame photo of Lewis, Leo, and the guy I call legend Joe Cole at the game.
Yep.
On Saturday night, which was kind of cool. So the one thing I kind of joked about this on Twitter, but I'm honestly curious about it. Don't know how many opportunities there really were or situations for this, but we know how Neil Collins would interact with the officials. How'd Nicky do?
I'll be honest with you. I didn't. Maybe because I was so kind of zeroed in on what was happening and I was standing in front of the mob like I normally do, I didn't notice as much. I didn't look for it, and I kind of wish I had now in retrospect. But it wasn't as animated from what I saw as a typical Neil Collins. But, I mean, he definitely had some things to say, but I feel like this, as much as a game he was zeroed in the same way the players were, that I don't think – I think we'll see more of that going forward. Like – Dan had mentioned something whenever Nicky Law was hired. I think he said it on Twitter or something like that. But he's like, if he's not out there saying whistle, I feel like he's doing his job wrong. And it's like, I had a good kick out of that, because that's a great Ted Lasso reference for anyone who doesn't know. But I mean, he didn't look animated the same way that I would have expected a Neil Collins. Let's put it that way.
Doesn't really seem like there are that many calls against the Rowdies to get that kind of heated or animated for. On the other hand, Tulsa's coach, I think, maybe had a basis for one. Just before the Rowdies scored the second goal, Charlie Dennis gets the second goal, seemed to be a possibility for a penalty call awarded to Tulsa. Little interaction in the box. What was your view on that situation? What'd you think?
Unfortunately, I had to go underneath to go do something because my job was calling. So I actually missed it. but I mean, it was a good physical play. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I don't think there was anything to it other than it was just good physical play. It was a good no call.
Yeah, that seemed to be the consensus opinion of the commentators. There was some contact, but don't know that it rose to the level of a penalty. And being the biased homer that I am, I'm going to say that they took care of that situation properly.
Well, I mean, if you watch it, I mean, on the replay, I mean, he cuts in across, I think it was Forrest. Mm-hmm. He cuts in across Forrest, who leaves his leg out. Was it him or was it Connor? Crap, now I can't remember. But who had his leg out, but it wasn't impeding his ability to move to the ball. Before there was contact on the leg, he was already in the air making that dive, which I think, and the referee was right there in top of the 18. Like, he had a perfect view as to what was going on, which I think is why he let it go. Now, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, if you see him making that dive, though, isn't that also a yellow card for simulation, though? Like, so yeah. Is there contact or is there not contact? You know, it's one of those. But I'm not going to complain because it worked out to our favor. Right.
Forrest had already picked up his default yellow card, and it is his eighth. He will miss the next match with an accumulation suspension, but he picked up yellow in the 29th minute. And I kind of, you know, was joking around when I saw that notification pop up on Twitter. It was like, well, you know, you might as well just go ahead and make this worth your while. If you're going to get a yellow and miss the next game, go get a second one for something, you know, when you're up 3-0, maybe not when it's, you know, 1-0 still. Yeah. Go get the second one and just have a good time. Smartly, you know, this is why he's a professional soccer player, and I'm not. He decided not to do that.
Yeah, thank
which
you.
Is honestly the right call there.
I was gonna say he had himself a great game too. I mean,
yeah,
anything that went over top four. I mean, and this has been true for the last 5, 6, 7 games, anything over the top to their striker, Forrest has been all over it. And mm-hmm. I mean, for whatever might have been missing in those first, 4 or 5 games, he has found it. And he is back to the Forrest that we all love. Like, he has been an absolute dominant force in the center back role.
So I felt, you know, and we talked about this going in, and it kind of, I think, played out exactly how we said it would. And for some of the reasons we said it would, this was a tougher team than Tulsa had played. And the announcers even referenced that in during the broadcast. Toughest team Tulsa had played during this winning stretch. And again, credit to them for getting that, those 5 wins. But it felt pretty good that this would go our way. It was a good game for Nicky Law to get his feet wet into coaching. Seems like he did pretty good with managing substitutes, managing time, all that kind of thing. I don't really have any issues there. Vlatko Andonovsky could take some notes, perhaps.
well, whatever do you mean?
Preferably in the next 6 hours or so.
Yeah.
So let's go with our, I don't know, do we have good, bad,
Lynn ugly? Williams. Lynn Williams.
Yeah. I don't really think there were any bad or ugly.
No, if I had to say there was any bad or ugly, it would just be those early opportunities that we gave up. Because if they had their finishing cleats on, we could have easily been down 2-0 pretty quick, because they definitely had some opportunities there. I mean, thankfully they weren't clean opportunities, but man, oh man. I mean, a better team puts those away and we're in trouble.
True. Yeah. It was a little more even in the first half, in terms of some of that than we saw in the second half. So yeah, that makes sense. I'll go with that.
But that's stretching for something, though. I mean, that's like, I'm searching for it.
All right. So, you're man of the match.
So this one, well, do we want to talk about the second half at all, or we'll just kind of go?
I mean,
with it?
I think we kind of did.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. I'm with you. You know what? Yes, we're going to keep going. So if I had to say my man of the match, this one's kind of personal to me. For those that don't know, I lost my father a year ago to cancer after a long bout. So my man of the match goes to the lumberjack in the back, Forrest Lasso, who had himself a fantastic game, had a fantastic goal, kicked us off in the scoring department, and had a great message on a shirt that he went over to his mom. And, you know, it was like, I love you, mom, and fuck cancer, basically. Can I say that word on here? Or did I just get in trouble?
You did. Maybe I'll be cancer. Maybe not.
Yeah, that might be a good move. I mean, it was an F cancer, which, you know what? I mean, for, as like I said, somebody who lost somebody to cancer recently, I mean, that one really stood out for me. That was huge. And that was, Forrest played larger than life. You could just see he was inspired, and you kind of get why after that. So, Forrest Lasso, you are my man of the match.
I'll second that as someone who went through that in with my own dad. Well, a lot more than 1 year ago, 30 something years ago. And also, but man, Charlie Dennis, Jordan Doherty, like there's so many guys you could give this to based on their performances. It was just a good night overall for a lot of the guys, which is good. Like, you know, they came out, you know, there's a solid answer for who's in place as a coach. They know who they need to impress. They know what they need to do. They know a little bit more direction, what he is looking for. And the guys came out and got that done. So just kind of kudos to the whole team. I'm going to say that.
But do you have an actual man of the match, though?
I mean, the sentimental guy in me wants to go Forrest Lasso for those reasons. I'm just Charlie Dennis, honestly, if I had to pick one for just performance on the field. Sets up one goal, almost had a second one, the one that was called back for offside for Jake LaCava, then gets one of his own by following up a shot.
Yep.
Staying focused on the ball, getting to where it is, and just, you know, letting one rip and seeing what happens. It's kind of everything you wanted to see. Nicky Law says in the postgame press conference that, you know, that second half is what he wants out of the team, what he wants his team to play like, which is what we've seen the team play like under Neil Collins, dominant attacking soccer, which is good because, I mean, that's what the roster is built for. That's what you've got. If don't fix what isn't broken. Also, don't broke what's pretty fixed.
Yeah.
After a rough start to the year, they've been doing quite well lately. Let's keep that going.
Yeah, well, and to your point, like what he said in the post game too, he came out with that 4-4-2, and he allowed Cal and Dennis to really cause havoc, you know, on the press on top, which really forced Tulsa to play faster than they wanted to play. And if you notice, a lot of times they kicked the ball out of bounds, they kept the ball wide, and anything that might have gotten through the middle. I mean, you had Ekra right on it, you had Ehrman and Aaron Guillen, who are just absolutely dominant on that left side. I mean, just all around the field, like the whole setup was great. And to your point, yes, I mean, Nicky Law is playing a very similar format to what Neil Collins did, and he's just building on it. So, I thought it was all the way around. I'm with you, man. It was a great match.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some tweaks. There's going to be some twists and some things done differently. But I think the basic style is going to look the same, which is, you know, the way I think it should. All right, so the standings right now in the Eastern Conference. Pittsburgh, this weekend's opponent, currently in first place, 41 points out of 23 matches. Second place, Charleston, 2 points behind, 39 points, 22 matches. Our beloved Tampa Bay Rowdy sitting in third with 38 points out of 21 matches. So they're going into this match this weekend against Pittsburgh, 3 points back, but with 2 games in hand.
Yep.
This is going to be a big game for that. For many reasons, that's going to be another one of them. Louisville. So, like, your top three in the East is very close. And I think that top three is going to be the top three. I don't know if they'll be in the positions they are right now, but I think that's your top three.
Yep.
And then you see a little bit of separation for the rest of the playoff teams. 6 points back on an equal number of games, Louisville City on 32 points. Got a win over the weekend over Indy in a Lipa FC match. Memphis 901 lost 4-2 to Pittsburgh. They are 30 points, 20 matches. Birmingham 1 point behind them at 29. Tulsa, our opponent, has played one more game than us, currently has 10 fewer points. And Indy right now holding on to the final playoff spot, 25 points. Behind them is Detroit City. They're only 1 point back, but Indy has two games in hand on them. Yeah. Miami FC, 23 points, good enough for 10th place. Loudoun and Hartford are clubs that still exist in 11th and 12th with 20 points for Loudoun, 13 points for Hartford. They're not officially eliminated, but I think it's safe to say they are not going to be making every, you know, unless Hartford goes out and does what every bottom of the table U.S. team does and signs Lionel Messi, I don't see them making a challenge for the playoffs anytime soon. That is your standings update. So let's get to the news. There's one major piece of news that came out, what I want to say, again, a day or two after we did the last show.
Yep.
Tampa Bay Rowdies now have a head coach, former Rowdies player Nicky Law. Hired as head coach. He made 12 appearances with one goal for the Rowdies last year after being acquired in a trade for Juan Tejada. Left the club in the offseason to take a player assistant coach role with Huntsville City FC of MLS Next Pro. They are the minor league affiliate or minor league club, whatever you want to call it, for Nashville SC. And as was pointed out in the press release, he is signed for the remainder of the 2023 season. Now, Ben, I don't think it's a controversial thing to say that the name isn't what probably wasn't in a lot of people's top five when they were thinking of who was going to be who would be a contender or who could be the head coach. Not saying anything, you know, against the move because the first game was good. We have to, you know, give him some more time to see how this really works out.
Sure.
But getting into coaching has been something he's been looking to do for a while. That's why he made that move to Huntsville in the offseason. Was brought back this year to be the head coach. But I did think it was interesting that they said specifically, and usually you might see, you know, it's a 2-year deal, it's a 3-year deal, that he signed for the remainder of the 2023 season.
Yep.
Did that stick out to you too, or is this just me reading into things and overthinking it?
I'm right there with you. I thought that was really interesting that they made it a very clear point to say it was just for the end of the season. And if you listen on the broadcast, I mean, it almost feels like this hire happened really fast because they mentioned Nico Castillo reached out to him like literally the week before and brought him in like right away. So you feel like something had to have happened there to make them one, do it in such quick fashion, and two, to only do it for the end of the season. There's a lot of things there that just don't, that really stand out. But look, if this game is any indication as to what's to come, then it turns out to be a really great signing. And if he finishes off the season well, playing the way we're playing, I don't see any reason why you couldn't extend that. I'm with you, man. I mean, look, I was the one pining for other coaches to come and sign with us. But, I mean, I don't know what's entailed there. I mean, it's midseason. I mean, who are you going to pull midseason? We were talking about in the pre-show, it's like, you know, I don't know. Are there buyout clauses? Like, who are you going to grab? Like, who's even going to be interested in taking that? Like, so they made it sound like there was all kinds of people applying for this job. And in my mind, I obviously went to the, you know, all the big name coaches that are around USL, even MLS assistant coaches were calling in.
Right.
But, you know, I'm okay with the hire. I mean, he seems to have the team's respect. He has the players' respect. Nico's not going to go out there and make that call and make that hire unless he feels like it's the right guy for the role. I mean, if you look at the things that are working in Nicky Law's advantage, he knew Neil's system. He knew the players. Mm-hmm. He has experience in the league. You know, he has experience in Neil's system. So, I mean, it all makes sense, but we'll just have to see how it works out in the long run. Like this game this week is going to be a real good test, you know, at Pittsburgh, which is a place that we don't exactly have a lot of luck at, you know?
Yeah.
I think of all the overtime games we've lost there.
Yeah. I mean, so going back to the coaching hire for a second, I had heard from a couple different people, a variety of people, that there was no shortage of applicants for this job. That if you can think of a coach in USL, basically they had put their name in. So who knows? Is it a situation where they had targeted somebody else, but they either couldn't get out of the contract or whatever the the buyout or the conditions were not something the club was willing to meet at this time. And maybe it's a contract that's up at the end of the year. So it sounds like, or it has a feel like, and I could be totally wrong here, that it's Nicky's job for now. If he comes in and does great and they lift a trophy, maybe he's given the job, gets an extension. If it doesn't work out the way they kind of wanted to, then maybe they go back to pursuing some of these other names in the off season. I hope it works out for Nicky. I hope we win, 13 more games and however many through the playoffs and lift the trophy and give the guy a deal. Cause that means that we won a championship. It means we got, done what we've been wanting to get done for a while. Mm-hmm. But if for some reason it doesn't work out, they can go through this process again in the off season, I guess, is what they're kind of signaling with these, the announcement. And again, I don't think there will be any shortage of coaches available, unless Saudi Arabia signs them all. Who knows?
Well, I mean, and who's to say that Nicky Law isn't a long-term placeholder? Maybe he's our placeholder for now and he stays as an assistant coach next year, but he's a guy that knows our system and, can't fill in the role of an assistant coach role. I mean, I don't know. There's any number of possibilities here, but I'm with you. I mean, look, it can't hurt to see where this thing is going to go. I mean, the first game indications are really positive.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing I was curious about is there was no mention because, Neil held the dual titles of head coach and technical director. There was no mention of any of that with Nicky at all. So are they going to be looking for someone to fill that position separately, or is it something else that may be added to his, duties and responsibilities later on the season or the off season going into next season? Who knows? Mm-hmm. It'll be, again, you're going to have a first time guy doing this. And Neil was a first time head coach too, but I don't think he officially took those titles on, for probably another season or two after he got hired, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong.
No, I think you're probably right. And I think Lee took on a lot of that stuff, too, at the beginning as well. So, I mean, before Neil finally, look, do we need to put all that on Nicky Law right now? No, I just want him to coach. I don't want him to focus on anything else right now. To just coach. Just get the guys good with the system. Get your ideas in place. And let's go from there. We can worry about the technical role as we go.
Right. Yeah, I'm good with that. So, have a head coach. It's not a multi-year kind of thing yet. Hopefully it turns out to be, because it means we had a great season and found another, I think we refer to it as striking gold. Like, we pulled Neil Collins out and people thought, well, I don't know how this is going to work out. Worked out pretty good.
Yep.
Maybe we'll get the same thing around with Nicky Law. Let's hope so. All right. You talked a little bit and we talked a little bit earlier about this weekend's match. Let's take a look at Rowdies at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh currently is 11-4-8. They are first in the Eastern Conference. Same number of wins as Tampa Bay, one fewer loss, three more draws. Like we said, they've played two more games than Tampa Bay. They have a 3-3-5. Oh, I did this all backwards. We're not playing them away. They're playing them at Pittsburgh. I messed up my stats here. Well, let's see. That would make them 8-1-3 at home. Very good at home. And like you mentioned, and I have memories of this, especially in the league and in the Open Cup, the Rowdies have not historically had a good time visiting Highmark Stadium, even though the train's fun. They are 3-2-0 in their last five. Like we said, they're 3 points ahead of the Rowdies. The Rowdies, however, have two games in hand. This will be the first matchup of the season. They will also play them in the next to last week of the regular season. And the way this is shaping up, that could be a pretty significant match. Pittsburgh won their last match. Like we said, they won 4-2 against Memphis. They are led by their leading goal scorer and shot taker is Albert Dikwa, 10 goals on 35 shots. Kenardo Forbes has 6 assists and has created 31 chances. Those are their two main offensive weapons when it comes to creating chances and converting chances. There are other guys with goals and shots and assists and chances, but they are, for the most part, somewhat distanced behind those two. When it comes to their goalkeeping core, Jamali White has made 17 starts. He has 22 saves, 6 clean sheets, conceded 18 goals. Luis Zamudio has 5 starts, or at least 5 appearances, 6 saves, 1 clean sheet, and conceded 1 goal. Christian Garner with 1 appearance, 1 save, and 1 conceded goal as well. On paper, or at least the website version of paper, statistically, these two teams are very even in a lot of categories. They are very similar, so we should see a pretty close match this weekend. Rowdies have 35 goals in, and Pittsburgh has 31. Rowdies, both teams have conceded 20. The Rowdies have conceded 20 on 79 shots. Pittsburgh have conceded 20 on 52 shots. Rowdies have a pass accuracy percentage of 81.4% on 7,034 passes. Pittsburgh at 72.5 on 6,427 passes. Rowdies have conceded 262 fouls, Pittsburgh 355, so we could see another little bit of a physical game. Like we said, Forrest Lasso is suspended for this one. I suspect we'll see Freddie Kleeman get the start, which I'm fine with. He's played in all but 2 matches this season. He has done well every time. What jumps out at you, or what are you looking for in this Pittsburgh-Tampa Bay matchup?
Well, I think you pretty well covered it. We are pretty evenly matched. I mean, I'm going through the stats on the USL Championship website, and pretty much everything on here is damn near equal. The only difference I see is our passing accuracy is a little bit higher. I mean, they've got 10 clean sheets this year. This is going to be a dogfight. I think this is really going to be a will of whose system plays out better in the end. I fully expect this game to go until the very final whistle, and I think it's going to be close the whole way. I think there's going to be some goals scored, but I don't think there's going to be many. So, I mean, we might have an advantage in the passing department if Dark Jordan can have himself another game the way he did. I think that,
by the way, we're talking about, I'm over here making Dark Jordan memes ready to tweet out with the show when it goes out. I think Dark Jordan's going to be the episode title.
I like it. Dark Jordan it is. I'm all for it. I mean, if he can have himself another game the way he did, I think if Kleeman can come in and just be, he doesn't have to be Forrest Lasso. He just has to be Freddie Kleeman. He needs to be efficient, be smart, don't get pulled out of the middle. I think it'll be okay. Like, I was watching Pittsburgh's highlights from their last game, and if you look, I mean, they went down 2-0 in that game, and what they did is they were attacking in bunches in the final third and causing turnovers. Mm-hmm. And just peppering the net, which is how they got those 4 goals back. Look, the week before that, they lost 3-1. Was it 3-1 or 3-0? They lost 3-1 to Indy at home. So look, they are beatable at home. I mean, this is a doable thing. I think if we can play our game, play our match the way we like in a very similar format, the way we just played FC Tulsa, I think we'll come out ahead, but it's not going to be, it's not going to be easy, and missing Forrest is definitely going to hurt us. Because Forrest has been, you know, a one-man wrecking crew in that back line. But we'll see. I don't know, man. What do you think?
We said, you know, that the Tulsa game was a good one for Nicky Law to get his feet wet, get in and kind of get comfortable and start developing his coaching style. This is going to be a much bigger test. We're going to get more of an idea about his, potential as a head coach, I'd say, although, you know, we're 2 games in. It's way too early to be making any kind of long-lasting judgment. We were talking before the show, we want to get John Morsi on to actually give some smart tactical information. We retweeted his breakdown of the game. But I want to give him, you know, more than 1 or 2 games, especially he's going to have to be forced into some lineup changes because of a suspension here. I want to give him a couple games to kind of see what we're seeing maybe on average and get that info out there. This is going to be a tough match. And maybe it feels tougher because we have not played them yet. And it's that kind of, you know, we're done with Charleston. So, you know, that's fine. Pittsburgh is the one that we're going to have to catch and make up some points on. You know, we haven't played Louisville. Mm-hmm. We haven't played Memphis, have we?
No.
I don't think so. We haven't played Hartford, and we still have another game against Loudoun. So there are some other areas to make up some points, but I think you're going to get a pretty good idea about what this team is. You know, like we said, rough start to the season. rallied back. You know, we're on top of the Eastern Conference for a little while there. But you know how good this team actually is how your results you get against the teams ahead of you. We know the teams that they should beat. We know the teams it might be a little bit tougher, and this is going to be one of those little bit tougher ones. I think definitely they can go in and win. If Indy can go in there and win, then quite obviously we can go in there and win.
Yep.
But I kind of feel, and I'm going to just kind of jump into predictions here, I kind of feel maybe a draw is more likely, and I'm kind of thinking maybe 2-2 in this one. Pittsburgh and Highmark Stadium has been it's a cliche, but it's true. It's been a house of horrors for Tampa Bay more often than not. So
I'll forever remember
what's your prediction for this one. I'm saying 2-2.
I will forever remember the 108th minute goal that cost us the win up in Pittsburgh from 2017-18.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, this is going to be, like you were saying, this is going to be a great check for Nicky Law's ability to make changes on the fly and test his tactical IQ, because they're going to have to make some changes at halftime, because you know Pittsburgh's going to make some changes. Clearly, they're not afraid to go down by two goals. So
right.
This isn't going to be one of those games where we can just give away cheap balls like we did to Tulsa and think that it's going to be okay. So I'm with you. I was leaning on like a 3-2 because I think we have the ability to score goals on these guys, and I think we will. So for the sake of not going with the same scoreline, I'm going to go 3-2.
3-2 for a win?
3-2 for a win.
Okay. All right.
I think sometimes when you get wins like you do against those, especially your first win, it gives you a lot of confidence, and maybe not false confidence, but you know, it gives you that extra little boost where you feel like you're untouchable.
And right.
The way the guys responded, I have a feeling they're going to want to come out and do the same thing against the number one team of the East right now.
Okay.
So 3-2 to the lads.
I'm trying to take a look here. So the last couple times the Rowdies have gone to Pittsburgh, last time last year, June 25th, Rowdies walked out with a 5-2 win in Pittsburgh. They lost in 2021, 2-0. They drew 0-0. Where else? They lost in the Open Cup. I remember that game. Dan and I were trying to do a live show at Rowdy's Den, and it was just awful. Yeah, lost 1-0 in 2015 in the Open Cup, lost 2-0 2017 in the season, drew 1-1 in 2018, drew 1-1 2019. You know, it actually doesn't seem as bad on paper as it has been.
I think a lot of their goals, though, that where they would tie us was like towards the end of the game, though. I don't know. Maybe it feels that way. I mean, I could be completely just wrong.
But
it definitely. Yeah, those goals, you're just like, are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, one area that I think is going to help us, hopefully, and we saw this a little bit over the weekend, like we mentioned, Albert Dequa is their main guy. You can add up their next three goal scorers before you get to a total equal to what Dequa's done by himself.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, for Tampa Bay side, you've got Jennings and Williams with 8 goals apiece, Charlie Dennis at 7. Jake Ehrman, Jake LaCava, down to Forrest Lasso with like 2-1, but we're able to get some more. And that was, you know, the other thing that kind of jumped out at me from this last game is we got goals from every area on the field. We got goals from our forwards, goals from our midfielders, and goals from the back line coming off the set piece.
Yeah.
Being able to do that is going to be an important thing. Pittsburgh is getting goals from Dequa, and if you add up everybody else on the team, they're just barely scoring more than he is.
Yeah.
One thing that's going to hurt us, we mentioned being out, Forrest Lasso being out suspension, but also Sebastian Dalgaard with his injury. They mentioned on the broadcast that he was going to be out for a while. So,
yeah, he was still limping as he was walking around. It looked like, to me, it's like his knee. But he wasn't wearing a brace or anything, so I don't know how bad it was, but I don't know. From what I've heard, it doesn't sound good for Dalgaard.
Wasn't great, yeah. Luckily, we have the talent. You know, guys like Dayon and stuff in there that have, you know, proven themselves in the past where you feel okay with it. Mm-hmm. But still, you take it, you know, if someone else gets hurt, then you're down another player. Like, you, these little hits and nicks and injuries and stuff and knocks and all that, especially this time of year, they're going to start to pile up with the weather, yeah, with the amount of games, with, you know, everything else. Hopefully no one else gets hurt or suspended. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah. Although, hey, on a side note, something I'd like to point out, before the game started, you know, sometimes players that usually aren't playing come out and do their warm-up pregame.
Right.
Before anybody else comes out. Leo was out there doing some simple drills with the technical staff. And Lewis Hilton was also out there. Now, he was just walking. Okay.
Right.
Lewis Hilton was out there walking around. Now, I don't know if – I think if he's still –
Is he still in the boot?
He wasn't wearing the boot.
Okay.
He was wearing two – he was showing off those quads is what he was doing. Lewis, I don't know if you're going to hear this, but you're just trying to show us all up, and I don't like it. Well, maybe I do like it. I don't know. But he was out there. He had these things, these wraps on his quads. So his shorts, like, you know, some soccer players, they like roll them up into their waistband.
Right, right.
He had that basically going on and these two giant straps over his quads. And I'm like, I don't know what that's doing, but okay. But you're out here and you're walking around. It makes me feel good. It gave me the warm and fuzzies.
Yeah. Then, Leo posted on his Instagram, because I happened to cross his Instagram story over the weekend, some video of him doing some drills, some rehab recovery drills. And I know Kenny Morales reposted it on Twitter. He's looking good. He is obviously not coming back to play the season, but he is definitely making some good progress towards recovery, and I hope that it continues for him. Sounds like Lewis is getting in the right direction as well, too. I hope that continues. Just trying to think about how good this team could be with everybody healthy, which is something we say every year, because someone is hurt and misses, you know, chunks of games or stretches of games like this. But this year, it's been all together.
It's been key players this year. Like, it hasn't been like, you know, a second center mid or, you know, a third striker. It has been our starting number one defensive center mid. It's been our starting number one right mid. I mean, it's guys that have been playing very important roles that are going down and are killing us. That it's just like, this year has just been extra jerky, mean, stupid, sucky, I don't like you.
Something else, and I gotta dig this up and see exactly where it is. Maybe I thought this was in the mob Discord, but maybe I missed it. One name we haven't seen, or a face we haven't seen around for a while now, is Tate Johnson. And I saw a post somewhere, I thought it was maybe in the mob Discord, that he popped up on an MLS Next Pro team somewhere. So I don't know if that's a loan, or if he's you know, taking a spot over there, or you know, did his academy deal run out with Tampa Bay and now he's doing this? I don't know what the deal is there, but hope he's doing good, whatever he's doing.
Yeah, man, good luck to him. I mean, maybe he got himself a really good opportunity with one of those. Look, it's a direct path to an MLS team, and if that's what it takes for him to get there, that's what he feels is his best path. Man, Tate, go do your thing, man. We will always cheer you on from here. We'll always appreciate what you've done for us.
Oh, you know what? What we didn't mention. Geez, just talking about this. Looks like he's playing with the Charlotte FC Academy. Okay. Which makes sense, because he had committed to University of North Carolina. So maybe it's
Okay.
You know, a little something there before I think a year or two ago, maybe he was doing that before getting into college and that season starts, possibly. We had a signing. We totally forgot to put that in notes. Right. Yeah.
I didn't even think about that either. God, it seemed like it was so quick, too, out of nowhere. And he got minutes, too.
Yeah, Dan's going to accuse us of Italian erasure if we don't mention that here.
Boo, Italians, boo.
Yeah, although I'm just going to point out he's Venezuelan. Rowdy signed Abel Caputo. Hopefully I'm saying that wrong. Hopefully I'm saying that right. Is a Venezuelan midfielder. He had been with Inter Miami 2 since 2021. If you remember going back, I think it's like 2020, the last Open Cup before COVID started, he was part of that Florida Soccer Soldiers club that made a little bit of a run in the Open Cup. I think they won a couple games in there. I don't know if he was on that one, but he's played for that side. I want to say that's the side it was. But he had 62 appearances and a goal for Inter Miami 2, which, you know, this could be one of the benefits. I mean, I think it will be one of the benefits of having Nicky Law is, you know, Nicky was coaching and playing for Huntsville City FC, another MLS Next Pro team. Like, he knows some of the talent that's out there. Yep. And I'm wondering if he got a little bit of a recommendation from Jake LaCava too, because LaCava was playing for Inter Miami too as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's a, I don't know how much scouting you need to do that, because I think around at this level, there's probably a lot of general knowledge about the players who are out there with these teams. But these are some guys that Nicky has played against and coached against essentially as well, too. He's got a little more insight into what's going on in that league than probably we've had before. So, yeah, he got in late in the he kind of did like a line change victory cigar substitution.
He came into the 90th.
Yeah. And got to run around and, you know, at least make his debut. So we'll see. I don't really know much more about him besides that, but with some guys injured and with some, you know, a little bit of depth needed, and maybe Nicky wants to run a little bit deeper squad than what we've had in the past. We might see some other guys coming in here still. We'll see.
Well, and seeing who he made the substitution for, he came in for Jan Ekra, who's just been an absolute journeyman. I mean, he's been around for a long time. I mean, it'll be good to get Jan some.
I think they said in the broadcast he's played more minutes in the USL Championship than any player ever.
Is that? I thought the guy in the last game had the most minutes in USL.
He might have the most matches, but I think Ekra might have the most minutes. I'll have to go back and listen to it again. It was something along those lines.
Okay. I mean, I know he's been around forever, so I mean, I know he's got a ton of minutes. But yeah, even for us, though, I mean, like, I mean, he's an older guy. I mean, he's not old. God, I'm old. He's not old.
Yeah. We're old then. Yeah. Like,
the gray in my beard. I mean, old for soccer terms, all right, as far as players are concerned. Right. He's one of the veterans. But, I mean, he, you know, if Abel ends up being a good substitution, because, I mean, he's more of a defensive center mid guy. So if he can sub in and give Jan some extra minutes off late in games to save his legs for later in the season, that's nothing but good, you know. And let's also, to your other point, where as far as, like, Nicky having insight into the other leagues, like the MLS Next Pro and the USL League One, those guys. Let's also not downplay the context that Nico Castillo has. I mean, Nico's got himself deep in with all the clubs as well. He's been around the league a long time. I mean, he's also very in tune with what's going on around. So, I mean, I think we're constantly looking. I definitely think that if there's an opportunity to be had there, we're going to take it.
Uh-oh. Okay, I'm cracking. I'm flipping, getting updated on some tweets here during the game. So you know the whole joke about how Cillian Murphy from Oppenheimer looks like Tyler Glass now.
Yes, they
even mentioned. So the RBLR guys just tweeted out. Well, it's a couple hours ago, but I'm seeing the retweet now. They did like a movie poster called Troppenheimer.
Well done, boys.
All right, let's go ahead and wrap this up. Get out of here, because, like you said, we're old, and I have to go to bed. I got to be up at 5:30 in the morning, and it's currently 9:30 right now. So, game this weekend. The team announced another watch party in Tampa. I don't have the info right here in front of me, I don't think. We'll look for it online, retweet it. If you're on around the Tampa side, go on over there. If you're down in Sarasota, come on at the Shamrock. I am going to once again be on the East Coast. It's been a fun couple of weeks. But I will keep track as best I can, and we will come back and talk about this result, any news, anything else next week, and get you guys another episode. Any last words, Ben?
No, Nicky Law, hell of a first showing, my friend. Let's do it again this Saturday.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, Ben, good as always to talk to you. We'll do it again sometime next week. Come on, you rowdies.
Come on, you rowdies.
The rowdies are near, the rowdies are there. They kick the ball. kicking the grass.